unto him who has loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests. Unto him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. God's word for our sermon is based upon the gospel that was just read to you from John chapter 17, verses 13 to 19. My dear fellow believers in Jesus, my dear fellow saints, one of the most beautiful terms that the Bible uses to describe us Christians is that word saint. See, a saint is a sanctified person, a holy person, a sinless person. We confess in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the holy Christian church, the communion of saints. Literally in the Bible, the word saint means one who is consecrated to God. That is, one who has been set apart for God, is given over to God, and therefore he is or she is just like God. Saints. That's what we Christians are. God-like people. Holy. Sinless. Do you have a problem with that? I know I do. Just look at the outward Christian church. Just look at all of the visible denominations and the church bodies that are out there. Just look at how people who say they're Christians, people who say they believe in Jesus, just look at how they act sometimes. They don't look very saintly at all, do they? They don't appear very holy. In fact, sometimes the Christian church is its own worst enemy. Read the news. Listen to the reports that describe what Christian churches do. Take note especially how Christian leaders, such as Christian pastors and Christian priests, make news by what they do, by abusing children, embezzling funds, cheating on their wives, breaking the laws of the land, getting drunk, and getting arrested. These are the leaders of the Christian church, and often their members just follow their examples and do the same things. So often we Christians, we don't look so holy, so saintly, so, as the definition says, consecrated to God and given over to God and looking just like God. And so our theme for our sermon today is this tension that we have on the board in front of you. Saints? We'll see, it's a big question mark. But we'll also see from our scripture text that our sermon theme is this. Saints! Yes! It's a big exclamation point. Now, if I'm a saint, why do I still think like a sinner? If I'm so holy, why am I not very humble? And if I'm so perfect, why am I so sinful daily? And if I'm so sinless, why do I still act so selfishly? See, that's a real problem, isn't it? It's a real tension. It's a real conundrum that you and I can relate to. Because we look at our daily lives and we rightly ask, where are my pure and holy thoughts about my boss? Where are my saintly words to my spouse or to my parents? or to my teachers, or to my children? Where are my godly actions when it comes to Monday morning preparation for work, or Wednesday afternoon self-discipline, or Friday evening social life, or Sunday morning worship and praise? Saints? Holy people? I don't think so. Not with the kind of thoughts that I think about people, not with the kind of thoughts I find rattling around in my brain. Each of us has to live this biblical contradiction every day of our lives, because each of us gets ripped apart day by day as we consider what God says we are and compare that to what we really are in our daily living. Well, my friends, welcome to being a Christian. Because this is the way that it's been since Adam and Eve fell into sin and they brought the whole world right along with them. Huh? This is the way God's Old Testament people acted throughout their history. And this is the way the great Apostle Paul views himself when he says in Romans chapter 7, the good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the evil I don't want to do, I do it anyway. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body that brings death? And yet, right in the middle of this tension, we hear Jesus say today, Heavenly Father, sanctify my disciples by your truth. Your word is truth. In spite of what we see, in spite of the world's sinful pollution, in spite of how Christian churches all around us dirty up God's holy word by their false teaching, and in spite of how our own church body, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, fails miserably at times to live up to its high calling as a holy church body reflecting Jesus' glory, and in spite of our own personal evil that we find lurking in our own hearts and minds, and lives. Jesus still says in our text, sanctify my disciples by your truth, God. Your word is truth. Saints, holy people, sinless people. That's what Jesus says God's word has made us. That's what Scripture says Jesus' baptism has done for us. Because the Bible says Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water by the word. Saints? Yes, saints. God calls us that. So it's an exclamation point. But truth be told, it's also a big question mark. How do we resolve this discrepancy? Well, here's the key to the resolution. It's right there in our scripture text for today. Right there in the very last verse. Listen to it again as Jesus says, for my disciples I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified. Literally, Jesus says here, for my disciples, I set myself apart as holy so that they too may be set apart as holy. The key to being a saint is Jesus. He says, I sanctify myself. That means that Jesus set himself apart to do God's will. He gave himself over to carry out God's plan. He consumed himself in carrying out what God wanted him to do, and that was to die. He became our Savior. He lived in our place, and he died in our place. He perfectly kept and obeyed every one of the Ten Commandments. Yes, Jesus truly was, in himself, a saint, in the real sense of that word. Jesus truly was a holy person in himself, huh? He never sinned once in all of his 33 years on this planet. And he did all of that as our representative, as our great substitute man, as our great replacement human being. And then on Good Friday, Jesus consecrated himself. He gave himself up as a sin offering there on Calvary. He poured out his life's blood, and he died there on that cross. So that also in his death, Jesus was truly a saint, a holy person. He was a perfect sin offering, a perfect sacrifice for all of us. Our catechism says that Christ has redeemed me, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Yes, Jesus offered a perfect sacrifice for you, for me, yea, for the whole world. He sanctified himself, consecrated himself for us, just as we witnessed a few weeks ago on Good Friday. And as Jesus says in our text, he did all of that to sanctify us, to make us holy, to turn us into saints. See, it's because of what Jesus did that God now considers us sinless. His word announces that beautiful verdict of God, innocent, not guilty. And his word gives us what his word says. This holiness of Jesus. So that now we Christians have a whole new status before God. Not the status of a sinner that we had when we entered into this world, but the status of a saint that was given to us in our conversion. We call this message of Jesus' work the gospel. That word gospel is an old English word that means the good news. You see, truly Jesus is the gospel. He is the good news. He is the resolution of the tension that's there in our sermon text. Jesus, you see, solves the problem of our text, of our sermon theme, and most importantly, of our lives. Yes. I don't act like a saint all the time. But Jesus did. And yes, I don't speak like a saint all the time. But Jesus did. And yes, I don't give and serve and sacrifice and obey and help and witness all the time like I should. But Jesus did. And so I run to him daily. And I bring my sins to him, and I lay my sins at the foot of his cross, and I hang on to his righteousness, and I trust him even in all of my weakness. Saints? Oh, you better believe it, because it's true. That's what you are, right? And the more I hang on to Jesus' saintliness, the more I tune in to my Savior's voice, the more I hear him witness to me of his love for me, the more that this saintliness that I have now kind of begins to come out in my life. And the more then I will live for him who died for me. See, the more I hear that I am a saint, the more I want to live like the saint that God says I am. Here's the key to Christian living. Here's the key to the Christian life. It's Jesus' saintly life in our place. You see, we don't live more and more like Christians by trying harder and harder and harder on our own to do bigger and better things, to perform more, to conjure up more willpower to do more and more what God demands of us. That doesn't work. That's law motivation. And it has no power in it. In fact, that approach is a formula for frustration and actually a sure way to fall into more sin. No, the way to more saintliness in your daily life is to gaze at our Savior and to hear his loving voice speak to us. The way to more holiness in our daily living is to surround ourselves with the gospel assurances of Jesus' perfect holiness. The way to tap into God's power for a sanctified Christian life is to hear the absolution spoken by your pastor in church services every week. It's to speak this personal forgiveness that's been entrusted to you. Speak it to a friend and then have your friend give that forgiveness back to you when you fall. It's to come to the Holy Supper and there eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ himself, which assures us of his amazing love for you. The key to a holy life is the cultivation of this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, mano a mano, one on one, where you pour out your heart to him in childlike prayer and let your whole life be a reflection of his gospel in you and through you. Huh? The key to living as a saint is just to live our daily lives remembering what God already says we are, cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Now look at all the things in our scripture text that Jesus says this being a saint leads to for us. They're there in phrases in these seven verses that we have. First off, joy. Jesus says in our scripture text, I want my disciples to have the full measure of my joy within them. Christians shouldn't go around in life looking like a bunch of sourpusses, huh? Being tight with God and having Jesus' full and free forgiveness, we know where we're at with God, and we're headed straight for heaven no matter what. And that's a message that gives us joy daily, no matter how old we are. Secondly, Jesus says, I have given my disciples God's word, and the world has hated them. You see, being a saint means we're going to expect the world around us to hate us. Oh, they will, huh? They will consider us traitors for not living their way of life. But you know what? Big deal. So what? That doesn't change what God has said, huh? He has made us saints not only to empower us, but to direct and to guide us in life. And if we're saints in Jesus, we don't need the world around us to tell us how to think or how to act or how to talk, right? Who cares if the world blasts us for not approving of its lifestyle? Or condemns us for not living the way that they do. Thirdly, in our scripture, Jesus says, my prayer is not that God take believers out in me out of this world, but that he protect them from the evil one. Because we are all saints in Jesus, we don't have to have a fortress mentality. We don't have to whimsically wish that we didn't live in this big old bad world of ours. I know, I understand that we groan and moan and live under the constant attack of the devil, but Jesus didn't make us saints in order to make us monks or nuns to keep the world from us. He made us saints in order to send us out there into the world and to transform it by the kind of people he's made us to be with the gospel. He says in our text, Dear Father, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent my disciples into the world. As saints in Jesus, truly, we are protected from the evil one. We are protected from Satan as we go out into the four corners of the earth with the gospel. Now, it's true, we'll never have the experience of all of these things perfectly on this side of glory. Our joy at times will become tears. And the haters of this world, sometimes that wears us down. The evil one at times will succeed in getting us to succumb to temptation. And there will be times when we don't get off our backsides and go into all the world and seize the opportunities that Jesus gives us to share the word. The gospel that made us saints will never be lived in our lives 100% perfectly. And so the tension will come back. The problem will always present itself. But that's when we go back to what made us saints in the first place. We go back to Jesus and back to our Savior. He'll always take us back. He's our Lord. And each day is a new day of His grace. It is a new day to pick up the pieces of our lives and believe once again that we are holy through our Savior. I once saw a bumper sticker, seen it many times actually, that said, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." You know, that bumper sticker sort of makes the point of our sermon today. Yeah, Christians aren't perfect, but they are forgiven. Christians live under the glorious freedom of the forgiveness of sins that the gospel declares. The church father Augustine once put it well with these words when he said, "Our saintliness does not consist in life's perfection, but in sin's forgiveness." That's our saintliness, huh? We'll always find our final comfort in our lives here on this earth at the foot of the cross, in front of our Savior Jesus, in that wonderful truth that Jesus has forgiven us all of our sins, made us into holy people by all that He did for us. And I know it's true that the world will always think, "Oh, this gospel, that's just an excuse to go out and sin all the more," right? And even we Christians in our sinful weakness may begin to think and speak that way. But that simply doesn't change what God has said. That our Jesus did all that. That He lived in our place and sacrificed Himself as our Savior so that He is our complete holiness before God. And that we are holy in Him. Yes, there will always be tension in the Christian life. And we'll hear that word saint, and we'll put a question mark after it. We can't help ourselves, because that's the reality of our sinful life. But our Lord Jesus will always speak the word saint, and He'll put an exclamation point after it. That's because He always wants us to know that that's what we really are. Amen.